content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. This month is the month of August, and in August, what do? We get very, very hot. We might like to eat lots and lots of ice cream. It's summer vacation for some of it. And then towards the end of the middle to the end of the month, kids start going back to school. So this is the book called August. It's called Meet August by April Martin. This is August. Right now he has a haircut that looks like pencils. August loves the summer. He loves a good chill day at home with no plans but to play. He loves hearing the ice cream truck in his neighborhood, too. Eating a cold snack is a great way to cool off on a hot summer day. Do you like the ice cream truck, too? If I do very much. I love ice cream any place I can get it. August also loves football. He's excited to watch the preseason games on TV. Teams all over America are getting ready to play against each other. And there he is sitting in front of his TV, waving a flag that says, Go Team, watching the teams practice, and waving his flag as the teams practice. One thing August does not like about August is he just does not like getting sweaty. Sometimes when he plays football with his friends, he gets soaking wet from sweat. Ooh. He misses throwing the football at school with friends, but he knows school will start soon. He loves getting ready for the new school year, too. He cannot wait to see everyone again. Every summer, August gets to pick out new school supplies. He picks out new markers and crayons to use. He loads up on paper and pencils. He loves the years when it's time for a new lunchbox or backpack. This year, he gets ready to pick them out for himself. August also gets a fresh new haircut to start off the school year. One year, he had long hair. The picture here shows August with a haircut all made of rulers, all hanging down from his head and some across the top. Pretty silly. Another year, he had a silly and sticky haircut that he did not like. And this picture shows him with lots of glue sticks right across his head. And, of course, it was sort of sticky. This year, he was excited to show off his new hairstyle. The barber did a really good job. It was the perfect back-to-school haircut. And you know what his haircut is? It looks like a yellow school bus with a stop sign sticking out the side of it. All summer break, August got to sleep in, watch way too much TV, and play with Sunny, his pet hamster. Each day he marked off his calendar. Just 1 week left until school started back. His days off were coming to an end. There he's playing with his hamster. His little hamster is coming out of his tube upside down because hamsters love to play in tubes like that. August loves to celebrate the end of the summer with his closest friends, July and September. Before the new school year begins, they have one last play day in the sprinklers and set up a lemonade stand. It's their end of summer tradition. And there they were selling lemonade for $1 a glass. Finally, the day had come, the first day of school. August was ready with his new pencils and paper, his new backpack and lunchbox, and his cool new haircut, too. But for some reason, he was still nervous. Would he see his friends in class? Did he grow too tall in the summer? What if his new teacher was mean? The worst part of all, he had to walk to school, and the news reporter said it was going to be the hottest day of the whole year. Come on, August, time to get going. We need to take the first day of school picture, his parents shouted from the from the front porch. August worried, what if I sweat too much and they all make fun of me? So, the next page shows August standing on his front porch at his new picture. He got up, dressed in his new school clothes, brushed his cool new haircut into place, and his parents took a picture of him on his front doorstep. He's holding a little sign that says, First Day of School. His mom made a fun back-to-school breakfast for him, complete with pencil-shaped waffles and a good lucky message on his plate that says, Good luck. Happy first day of school. Love, Mom. And there is this. His mom had cut a pencil-shaped waffle out of a big frozen waffle with raspberries across the top of it to show, like, all sorts of erasers, and one chocolate chip on the very tip of the pencil, of the waffle pencil, to show the lead. August finished his breakfast quickly. He did not want to be late on his first school day to school, on his first day back. He said bye to Sunny, his little hamster, and started walking to school. Oh, no, he thought. The newspaper reporter was right. This has to be the hottest day in the history of all hot days. It has to be like maybe 110 degrees. I feel like I'm in an oven. And poor August started to sweat and sweat and sweat and sweat. So he drank all of his water but could not stop sweating. Maybe I'm still a little nervous. Is it really hot enough to make me sweat this much? August wondered. By the time August got to school, he had sweat so much, he became a puddle. And there he is, spread out on the front walk up to his school. And he looks like a puddle, just a big blurb of water with his face sticking out. He couldn't move. He just wiggled and wiggled and jiggled and jiggled. And he kept saying, help. He couldn't say hi to his new classmates. He could not show everyone his cool new haircut. You can't be serious, January said. I've never sweat that much a day in my life. Of course not. January is always very cold, isn't it? August's closest friends, July and September, knew what to do. Oh, this happens all the time. He just gets a little too sweaty in the summer. Come on, August, let's get you cooled off, July said to his friend. July and September scooped up their friend and put him in a bucket. They took him in to the school nurse, Mrs. Ouchie. Mrs. Ouchie helped August cool off. Finally, by the time the school started, August was back to normal. Phew, that was not the way I wanted to start my day, he thought. But it was great having his friends walk into school with him. He wasn't so nervous with them by his side. July, August, and September walked down the hall to their new classroom. To their surprise, Miss Seasons was their teacher this year. They love Miss Seasons. Hello, friends. It's so nice to see you all, she said to the group. Mrs. Seasons' class was decorated for the new year. The students found their desks and hung up their backpacks. They even learned about their new schedule. They learned about their new schedule. First, they would go to the new music teacher, Ms. Melody, and then it was time for math, and then recess. Football! August was thrilled. This was going to be a great school year. The best thing August learned on the first day of school was that there was nothing to be worried about after all. He saw lots of his friends, and he even met some new ones, too. He had grown too tall, but it wasn't a problem. And his teacher was definitely not mean. And last but not least, he learned to take the school bus instead of walking. And there's August going into the school bus thinking, ah, nice cold air conditioning in here. And he's looking very happy. He doesn't have to walk to school in a puddle of water and sweat. So, that is the way it happened for this boy, who was also named August, in the month of August. So that's the end of that one. It's called Meet August by April Martin. Now, we're going to read a story called, well, actually, it's more like a story poem. Troll 2, 3, 4. Trolls like to laze about twiddling their toes, picking their noses, and having a doze. They love to creep up behind goats and go, boo! Except for one sadly lonely little troll, Boogaloo. The other trolls tried but could not understand why Boogaloo felt so alone in Trollland. All I want is a friend, he thought with a sigh. And just then, a shiny red thing floated by. He ran after the thing and was running so fast, he ran straight by the sign that said, No troll should go past. That red thing, by the way, was a red balloon. A second troll followed behind Boogaloo, thinking, Where is he going? I want to go too. They walked through the keep-out cloud straight to a place where a human being stood there with a very shocked face. The human being screamed, I see trolls very loud, and fed as a third troll came out of the cloud. Another troll, number 4, followed them too, marching in line right behind Boogaloo. And before you could say Boogie Boo, there were crowds of curious trolls popping out through the clouds. Trolls filthy and furry were marching along, singing their favorite troll marching song. Troll 2, 3, 4. We're the trolls who grunt and we're the trolls who grunt and snore. Troll 2, 3, 4. We don't know, there might be more, but we can only count to 4. The humans were frightened. The trolls looked so scary, so scruffy and smelly, so horrid and hairy. As the trolls passed a park, Boogaloo sneaked away. He opened the gate and ran into play. A house just nearby, a boy stood on a chair. He whispered, Hey, look, there's a troll over there. He looks a bit lonely. I'll just go to see if maybe he'll play with someone like me. Hello, said the boy. My name's Jake. Who are you? The little troll smiled and said, Boogaloo. Come on, play on this whiz thing, Boogaloo cried. All right, answered Jake. But we call it a slide. Will you be my very best friend, Boogaloo? Yes, please, the troll answered. Will you be mine, too? And humans and trolls all crept closer to see what very best friends trolls and humans could be. There is nothing between trolls and humans today. The signs all came down. The clouds drifted away. Together they play with balloons and toy boats. And no one is frightened, not even the goats. Isn't that a cute little story poem? I like that one about the trolls. Our next story is called The Little Red Hen. There was once a little red hen who lived on a farm with her friends, a sleepy cat, a lazy pig, and one stuck-up duck. Whack, whack. One day, the little red hen found some grains of wheat. If I plant these, she thought, they will grow tall and strong and make more wheat. She went to see her friends. Who will help me plant these grains of wheat? She asked. Not I, mewed the cat. Not I, snorted the pig. Not I, quacked the duck. Quack, quack. So the little red hen planted all the grains of wheat and tended to the growing wheat all summer. At last, the wheat was ready to harvest. Who will help me harvest the wheat? The little red hen asked her friends. Not I, mewed the cat. Not I, snorted the pig. Not I, quacked the duck. Quack, quack. So the little red hen harvested the wheat and then went back to her friends. Who will help me carry the harvested wheat to the mill? She asked. Not I, mewed the cat. Not I, snorted the pig. Not I, quacked the duck. So the little red hen carried the heavy sack of wheat to the mill, where the kind miller ground it into flour. "Who will help me bake a loaf of bread with this flour?" she asked. "Not I," mewed the cat. "Not I," snorted the pig. "Not I," quacked the duck. Quack, quack, quack. So the little hen baked a loaf of bread all by herself. "Who will ask me? Who will help me eat this delicious bread?" the little hen asked quietly. "I will," mewed the cat. "I will," snorted the pig. "I will," quacked the duck. Quack, quack, quack. "No, you will not," cried the little red hen. "I did all of the work myself, and no one helped. My chicks and I will eat the loaf." And the little red hen and her little chicks ate up every crumb of the hot, delicious, fresh bread. That sounds so good. It serves those other animals right, but they did not get any of the bread. Our next story is Lion's First Day. And this is Lion's first day of school, just like it was August's first day in our first story. It was Clumsy Lion's first day at Miss Giraffe's Savannah School. True to his nature, he arrived late and skipped into the classroom, tripped over his paws, and landed upside down in his chair. Miss Giraffe tilted her head and smiled kindly at Lion. "What an amazing acrobat you are," she said. At lunchtime, Lion bumped into the table and knocked all the food over. Then he spilled his drink and slipped across the floor. "What wonderful clown skills you have," said Miss Giraffe. At playtime, Lion tripped and knocked some of the balls off a shelf, catching 3 with his paws and 1 on the tip of his tail. Can you imagine that? "What a fantastic juggler you'd make," said Miss Giraffe. That evening, Lion couldn't wait to tell his mother about his day. "All this time, I thought I was clumsy, but Miss Giraffe thinks I'm an excellent acrobat and a clown and a juggler." His mother smiled. "You can be a magician, too. Just make your dinner disappear." And that's the end of that very short story, but it's a very cute story, isn't it? Our next story is a Berenstain Bear story. It is by Stan and Mike Berenstain, Stan and Jen Berenstain, along with their son Mike Berenstain, and it is called The Lemonade Stand. It is a hot day. Brother, sister, and Honey Bear play outside. Mama brings them some lemonade. Oh, it's so good. Male Bear Bob comes by. He is very hot. "May I have some lemonade, please?" he said. "I will give you a quarter." And the cubs look very happy because they did not think they would be earning any money. Male Bear Bob drinks the lemonade. "Oh, it's so good and cold." "Here is your quarter," he says, and hands them a quarter. "Let's sell some more lemonade," says Brother. The cubs set up a lemonade stand. They make a sign. It says, "Lemonade, 25 cents." Some bears are mowing the lawn next door. They are very hot. They see the lemonade stand. And guess what happens? "We would like some lemonade," say the lawn bears. They drink it down. It is so good. So they get 5 more quarters. There's 5 bears mowing the lawn in the neighborhood. Their neighbor comes outside. "I'm having a party this afternoon," she says. "My guests will all want lemonade." Her guests arrive. They all drink the lemonade, and it is so very good. Everyone wants it and plays their quarter for some more lemonade. Some other neighbors come outside, too. They want lemonade, but the cubs are running out of lemonade. Oh, no. Don't worry, say the neighbors. We will all help. They bring out more drinks. They bring out food to eat. Oh, goody, looks like they have hamburgers here. And some cupcakes and lots of other drinks. And someone's there cooking hot dogs on a grill. Some other cubs come by and say, a block party. They start to play music. They start to dance. It is a big party. And meanwhile, it looks like the bears, Honey, brother, sister, and little Honey Bear, have lots more lemonade now to sell. And then Farmer Ben sees the party. He has a load of things from his farm, and he starts to sell fruit and vegetables from his farm out of the back of his truck. And here's a picture of him selling some tomatoes to one of the neighbors. Lots of people are lining up to buy their farm produce. It's nice and fresh. In the summer, farms always have good stuff to sell. There's tomatoes and apples and sweet potatoes and some cabbages and other things that we can't even see here. It is getting dark. How will the party end? Grizzly Gus has fireworks, and he sets them off. They are so pretty. The party is over. Everyone goes home. The lemonade is gone. The bears take down their lemonade stand. They carry the rest of the empty lemonade jug and glasses. They carry the money they have earned. They go inside, and they are very tired, and they are very, very hot. Mama brings them some lemonade. Oh, it is so good. That will be 25 cents, says Mama, and they all laugh at Mama's joke. Don't you think Mama should get some money, too? She was the one who made it. She was the one who squeezed all those lemons and had put all the sugar in it, and that costs money. So their mother was definitely worth paying. So that's the end of that story from the Berenstain Bears. They're always good stories, aren't they? Our next story comes from a book called The Complete Book of Farmyard Tales, and it's about Poppy and Sam, the brother and sister, and they live on Apple Tree Farm. And this particular story takes place in winter, and it's called Tractor in Trouble. And I thought I'd read you a winter story because we've been talking about hot, hot, hot days in August, but this is probably in January, and there's lots of snow on the ground. So anyways, here we go. Mrs. Boot, the farmer, is the farmer. She has two children called Poppy and Sam, and a dog named Rusty. Ted works on the farm. He helps Mrs. Boot. He looks after the tractor and all the farm machines. Today it is very windy. The wind is blowing in the trees, and it is so cold. Poppy and Sam are playing in the barn. Poppy is riding her bicycle, and Sam is driving his little truck. And the dog is outside playing in the snow, and the kids are all bundled up and still playing in the barn. They have their winter clothes on and their boots. So, anyways, here we go. It is very windy. Where are you going, Ted? They ask. Ted is driving the tractor out of the yard. I'm just going down to see if the sheep are all right, he says. Ted stops the tractor by the gate. He goes into the sheep field. He nails down the roof of the sheep shed to make sure it is nice and safe for the sheep. Poppy and Sam suddenly hear a terrible crash. What's that? Said Sam. I don't know. Let's go look, said Poppy. They run down the field. Oops, let's get this page turned. Here we go. A tree is blown down. Oh, no. It's coming down on Ted's tractor, says Poppy. Come on, we must help him, says Sam. Uh-oh, poor Ted is very upset. What are you going to do, Ted? The tree has scratched his new tractor. He can't even get into the cab to drive it. Ask Farmer Dre to help. I think I can see him on the hill, says Ted. Poppy and Sam run to ask him. Soon Farmer Dre comes by with his great big horse. Farmer Dre has a big, gentle cart horse called Dolly. They have come to help Ted. Plus, the farmer is carrying a chainsaw to help cut up the tree first. "I'll cut up the tree first," says Farmer Dre. Says Farmer Dre, yes. Farmer Dre starts up his chainsaw. Then he cuts off the branches, which have fallen onto the tractor. Dolly starts to work. Farmer Dre ties two ropes to Dolly's harness. Ted ties the other end to some of the biggest branches. Dolly pulls and pulls. She works so hard until all the branches are off the tractor. "Well done, Dolly," says Farmer Dre. Ted climbs up into the cab. "Thank you very much, Farmer Dre and Dolly," he says. And they all go back to the farmyard. Unfortunately, the tractor does look a little messy. It's all scratched up, of course. Ted finds a brush and paints over all the scratches. It will be soon good as new. And one more farm story. It's called The Silly Sheepdog. Poppy, Sam, and Rusty say hello to Patch. Patch is a sheepdog. He's black and white. "Come on, Patch," says Sam. "We'll show you all the animals on our farm." First, they look at the hens. Patch jumps into the hen run and chases the hens. They are frightened and they fly up onto their house. Now we'll go and see the cows. Patch runs into the field and barks at the cows, but they just stand and stare at him. Then they go to look at the pigs. Patch jumps into the pig pen and chases all the pigs into their little house. And there's a big mama pig and a bunch of little baby pigs all looking out the door at this silly dog that's barking at them. Sam shouts at Patch, "Come here, you silly thing. You're meant to be a sheepdog. Ted will have to send you back. They go to the sheep field. "Look," says Sam. "One sheep is missing." "Yes, it's that naughty Wooly again. If that Wooly is a missing sheep, he always seems to be able to run away." "Where's Patch going?" said Sam. Patch runs away across the field. Ted, Sam, Poppy, and Rusty all run after him. Patch dives through the hedge. Patch barks and barks. "What has he found?" said Sam, and they all go to look. Patch has found a boy. And the boy pats Patch. "Hello," he said. "I wonder who bought you when my dad sold his farm." The boy has found a sheep. "There's Wooly," said Sam. "I found her on the road," said the boy. "I was bringing her back to you," because he knows Wooly from the time before. So, Wooly is safely back at home. Patch chases Wooly back through the gate, and she runs to the field with the other sheep. "Patch doesn't do anything I tell him," says Ted. "You don't know how to whistle," says the boy. And Patch runs back to them. It is time to end this program. We've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for those who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.